Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
I think a lot of people who have been following the UFO field over the years realize that the Condon Report was a put-up job.
No.
So it didn't matter what they investigated.
That's true. Yeah.
They could have investigated 5,000 cases, but the conclusion would be the same.
That's right? Exactly correct.
Well, I mean, you look at the more recent cases with the Tic Tac sightings, and, I mean, you know, you've got, you know, all the attention naturally being paid, you know, to the videos taken and the, you know, Tic Tacs flying circles around the Navy jets, yet the parts where they're seeing obvious some kind of activity taking place underwater has really been glossed over.
Correct. That's right.
What's your favorite USO case that you've got in your book?
Let's talk about the sources for this information. So you've got Invisible Residence by Ivan T. Sanderson, which is a tremendous book. It's right up there at the best, and I always try to highlight this because if you have any friends or family members that are skeptical about this phenomenon and they might be sitting on the fence, they really don't know which way to go with this, if they sit down with this book for a Saturday or maybe like a rainy Sunday afternoon, and if you begin reading these documented naval, U.S. Navy USO cases, case after case, well-documented, well-referenced U.S. Navy cases, you just cannot put this book down thinking there's nothing to this, you know, when you look at it objectively. Now, so that's one source. The other source is by Preston Dennett. He has compiled a tremendous amount of USO cases, and we can talk about a few of these, but let me hit you with this first one here. This involves the USS Wasp off the coast of Puerto Rico. It's 1963, and so they've got five naval ships and two submarines. This went on for about 2 weeks, and what they were doing is they were tracking a USO going 150 knots at a depth of 27,000 feet. This is back in 1963. So who had the technology in 1963 to develop and field some type of USO that could go 150 knots at 27,000 feet depth back in 1963? And it's talked about in this book. Another case we can talk about, June 14th, 1992, Catalina Island. There were multiple witnesses that saw what it could be described as this lighted circular devices below the surface, and then they popped out. This was seen by about 12 eyewitnesses. This is talked about within Preston Dennett's publications as well. They have another case here that he talked about, February 7th, 1989, Catalina Island, where this strange USO basically, I wouldn't call it hovered, but floated on the surface. It launched off six flying saucers from its back and then submerged, and this all took place within about 60 seconds. That's talked about within Preston Dennett as well. So that's a couple of USO cases.
Yeah, Catalina Island, that whole area has gotten a lot of attention for the unusual activity that's been taking place.
Catalina Island, for sure, for sure. I went there and I talked to the reference librarian. She wasn't aware of it, but yeah, there's a historical legacy of USO sightings in Catalina Island. We'll do a couple more here. August 4th, 1967, Venezuela. Witness observed a boiling circle that was 18 feet in diameter. And then all of a sudden, this turquoise sphere pops out of the water. And there was water dripping off the side of this thing. And then in the center, there was this double row, and between the row, or kind of like a dividing line, there were these triangles that were rotating around the outer circumference of the craft, and then this thing flew away back in 1967. One more here. We talked about the USS FDR before. This is October 2nd, 1963, West Italy. Initial contact was 600 miles from the ship at an altitude of 80,000 feet. Then whatever this thing was approached the ship at a range of about 10 miles and 5,000 feet, and then it got within about 20 yards of the ship, seen by a lot of personnel, and then disappeared, was clocked on radar at going over 4,000 miles an hour. This is back in 1963.
Ivan T. Sanderson's book, Invisible Residents. I mean, I discovered that book, oh my gosh, when I was a teenager. And it really did. It opened my eyes to, you know, the whole this other completely different aspect of the UFO phenomenon. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's I'm glad to see that you've included some of these cases in your book.
I should mention to our listeners before we go on with Ivan T. Sanderson, he did several interviews with our staff announcer Bob Zanotti back in the 60s. Bob had a show called Coffee Clutch. We have recordings of a couple of those interviews, and they will become part of the Paracast Plus for listeners to our subscription service in the very near future. They're really of good quality, considering we're talking about reel-to-reel audio tape from, as I said, around 1965 or thereabouts. I'm looking here, say, two or three of those interviews.
That would be very interesting. I would love to listen to those.
Wow. Coming soon, listeners.
Cool.
Now, if you want to check out more about the Paracast Plus, if you're not a member, go to the Paracast.plus. And by the way, we added new ordering systems, so if you don't want to sign up with, say, PayPal, you could use a regular credit or debit card or Apple Pay or Google Pay. Let's get back to this close encounter with Michael Schratt. His book is Dark Files, A Pictorial History of Lost, Forgotten, and Obscure UFO Encounters. And where a picture is worth a thousand words, these brief descriptions of various sightings include drawings, sometimes vintage drawings, sometimes done by his artist, to get you a really fascinating picture of some of the cases that are lost in time because we're so focused on Roswell.
Yeah, that's right. Let's do one more within the USO part here. Now, this is 1955, Antarctica. This is during something called Operation Deep Freeze. And there's an article here. It came from beneath the sea. Dr. Ruben J. Valela, a Brazilian scientist aboard an icebreaker in Admiralty Bay, Antarctic, was shocked out of his senses when he saw a strange craft shoot up through the sea through more than 37 feet of solid ice. That is the question. Admiralty Bay, the ship that was involved in this, is called the USCGC Eastwind. And in the report, this is talked about as well. Whatever this thing was, it was bullet-shaped, and it punched through 37 feet of solid ice and then flew off into space back in 1955. So you can imagine the personnel on the ship, they see this craft just burst through the ice, and these huge chunks of ice are flying off into the air, and they come slamming down. And then it's got this cut-out section within the ice with bubbling water as this thing flies away back in 1955. Who has the technology to do this in 55? If you look at our fast attack submarines, we can go through 37 inches of solid ice, but we can't go through 37 feet of solid ice. Back in 1955. I'd like to know who had the technology to do that.
You know, people have suggested that that there's been another civilization that developed on Earth besides our own that started underwater. But I would have to question that, because I would think that, any developing civilization would first have to discover fire. And how are you going to discover fire underwater? Same goes with electricity. You know, it's going to be hard to experiment with electricity if you're an underwater water breathing.
Makes sense, right? Yeah,
yeah. So, I know, Gene, that we've got a break coming up here soon. But Michael, I know that you've also done a lot of research over the years on triangular shaped UFOs. And some of the descriptions on the craft that you had in your book, especially, you know, like all of the pipes and rivets and things like that, are right. very reminiscent of some of the reports that you have looked at with some of these triangle-shaped UFOs.
Let's find out more with Michael, Gene, and Tim. That means you're in
the Paracast.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at rockoids.com. That's rockoids, rockoids.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
You've been hearing Dr. Wallach talking about 90 essential nutrients, keeping the body healthy. GCNteam.com now has Beyond Tangy Tangerine Tablets, 60 plant-derived minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, packed in a powerful tablet. But that's not it. 160,000 auric points, a knockout punch to free radicals. Call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com. That's 877-878-4203.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So Tim asks a question that references triangle-shaped UFOs, which is something, by the way, as we know, David Marler has investigated for a number of years. Michael, you had a response to Tim's comment?
Well, basically, the way that I can describe that is when we go back to that 83 case, you're right, the rivets show up again and again. And what that witness was describing in 83 with the Mobile, Alabama case is that the entire outer portion of this craft looked like it was fastened by rivets. In some cases, I've got report from QFOS, which I don't think that one was reported either. It was a triangular-shaped craft. And he actually mentioned and wrote in the report with his pencil sketch, did a really good pencil sketch of it. He talked about rusty bridge rivets, something that you would see on the Golden Gate Bridge. He actually used that terminology. So that, to me, is screaming a man-made technology.
Yeah, but you've got these interesting discrepancies, though, because, I mean, you know, in one case, you have the description of these crafts as being seamless, almost look like that they were cast from a mold.
Right.
And then you turn around and you have basically like a flying bridge almost, or a flying boiler room. You know, something that looks like that it shouldn't even be able to get off the ground. Yet there it is, hovering silently over a neighborhood.
Yep, there's different configurations. It looks like there's almost different technologies. And then when you were talking about the seamless craft, I think it's important. Now, this one, we really can't call it obscure, but it's still part of the historical legacy. This was seamless, to mention what you were talking about here. May 16th, 1967, Falcon Lake, Canada. This has to do with Stephen Mekulek. He was a rock hound. He was a mineral collector. And on this particular day, he was wearing his hiking boots. He had thick leather pants on. He had gloves on. He had a plaid shirt on. And he was wearing leather gloves and a welder's goggle, because when he was chipping away at rocks, he didn't want to damage his eyes. So that's what he kind of was wearing during this whole sighting. How this began is he heard these birds taking off behind him, so they had this strange disturbance noise. So he looked up, saw these birds depart, and then he saw two 40-foot diameter dish-shaped craft. They were both identical. One departed, the other one landed about 200 feet from his location, and it sat there for a half an hour before he did anything. So he was looking at this thing for a half an hour. It's about 40 feet in diameter. It has kind of a dome on top that's squared off. It has these slits that are horizontally located around the outer circumference of the upper dome. And then he said that there was a door that opened up, this strange door, and there was this violet or purple light coming out from the interior. He also said that he could hear a language that he couldn't decipher and laughter. So here's this laughter again. So he went up to this door, did not walk into the craft, kind of looked inside, and he used English, Spanish, Polish, and French as a way to try to communicate with whatever, whoever was inside. That seemed to fail. Next thing that happened is this door closed. The craft hovered off the ground about a half a foot, somewhere along maybe 6 inches to 8 inches, and then it began rotating, and this strange, we can call it exhaust panel or exhaust vent that was about 8 inches by 6 inches, which had what looked like perfect CNC drilled holes in them. The pitch of these holes were like perfectly done on 2-inch centers or maybe 1-inch centers. And that vent lined up with his chest, and whatever this thing was, there was some type of a hot air exhaust that came out of this vent that burned him. And as you know, this case is very famous, Stephen Mekulek. The whole pitch pattern within this vent lined up perfectly with the burn marks on his chest. And he had this continuing medical condition where these burn marks would disappear, but then they would come back again. This went all the way until he passed away a few years ago. It's a very well-known case in ufology, and I kind of have a world exclusive within the book here. My coworker Antonio Junez, who I used to work with,
Antonio. Yep. How? Yep. Oh, well, I haven't heard from him in years.
Oh, sure. Yep. He got a copy of the photograph taken by the Royal Canadian Mounted Police it clearly shows the circular area where this thing comes down. So you can see a demarcation between the area outside the circle and the area inside. There's a complete definition of a circular portion where the craft actually came down. So very well-known case. Edmonton Journal, May 24th, 1967, headline, Foul Smell Persists, UFO Sighter Suffers Chest Burn. So multiple newspaper clippings on this one.
That's a fascinating case, and years afterwards, when they were, I think it was Stephen's son and a Canadian UFO researcher went to the site, they were able to track it down, and they actually found metal that had been melted into the seams of the rock where the UFO had landed that was still radioactive.
Isn't that interesting? Yeah.
It is. It is very interesting.
Yeah, it says radioactive metal fragments found at the scene. Fragments were about 4.5 inches long and 1/2 inch wide.
If I saw a landed UFO, I would stay far, far away from it after this.
He thought it was a unconventional man-made aircraft.
Correct.
Because he tried dressing the occupants inside, and I think he tried French first, and I think he tried Russian.
At least 4 separate languages.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And that's how he was treated. Ended up with a lifelong burn on his chest.
That's right. That's right.
Well, and as you pointed out, his son said that the smell would still, as well as the markings would, you know, periodically appear throughout his life, the smell would also come back.
Wow.
So, yeah, what kind of physiological effect can do that?
That's very odd. That's very odd. Some type of strange medical condition.
Yeah. Well, and okay, curious. Do you have anything, any cases like that similar in your book?
Not like that.
Not like that one. I mean, I know that there have been other cases of people who have been injured from close encounters with UFOs, but that one is really probably the best. And I want to point out something. There is the story that you have that took place in 1977 in Tucson, Arizona, where Mrs. Lois Stobel, and the drawing of this craft or whatever you'd want to call it is very reminiscent of the Chupa Chupa craft that were being seen in Brazil that was reported by Jacques Vallée.
Okay.
Very, very same, about the same size, but the, unlike the case in Tucson, these things would hover over people and then shoot laser-like beams.
We've got so much more to come with Gene and Michael and Tim. You're in the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
U.S. USA Radio News.
A bipartisan group of U.S. senators have arrived in Warsaw to meet the U.S. ambassador to Poland. Senators Rob Portman of Ohio, Roger Wicker of Mississippi, Amy Klobuchar of Minnesota, and Richard Blumenthal of Connecticut will also be meeting with U.S. troops from the 82nd Airborne Division. President Biden has said if the U.S. sends in any sort of American forces to fight in Ukraine, it's the start of a greater conflict.
We respond, it is World War III, but we have a sacred obligation on NATO territory, a sacred obligation, Article 5.
A powerful late winter storm is leaving thousands in the dark along the East Coast. The storm's high winds and heavy snowfall have left more than 140,000 people without power Saturday. The National Weather Service has put around 16 million people under a winter storm warning from Tennessee to Maine. Strong wind gusts and low visibility also caused a 70-vehicle pileup in central Pennsylvania Saturday, injuring multiple people. This is USA Radio News. As many as 12 missiles struck near a sprawling U.S. consulate complex in the northern Iraqi city of Erbil in what a U.S. defense official and an Iraqi official said was a strike launched from neighboring Iran. The Kurdish Interior Ministry says the attack caused only material damage and only one civilian was injured. So far, there's been no official claim of responsibility. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen is warning there could be another year of high inflation. The latest data from the Labor Department shows consumer prices climbed 7.9% in February from a year ago, the largest annual increase since January of 1982. It's the end of an era as Joe Buck is reportedly leaving Fox for ESPN. The New York Post is reporting Buck will join his longtime broadcast partner Troy Aikman in the booth at ESPN for Monday Night Football, leaving Fox after almost 30 years. ESPN is expected to give him a five-year deal worth up to $75 million. This is USA Radio News.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Hey, this is Marie D. Jones, the author of This Book is from the Future, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Now, I know that some parts of the country, when UFOs are present, they seem to be more hostile. Is that the culture or what?
I'd like to see a map that vets that out, actually. That's a very good point. Maybe on the East Coast, but I'd like to examine that. I'd like to find out more about that, where they have more of a hostile intent.
I'm thinking more of South America.
Right. Yeah, South and Central America seem to have more cases of hostile interactions.
Well, on this Tucson case that you mentioned, and this used to be right down the road from where I lived, actually began in basically a schoolyard where the primary eyewitness saw this light approaching her front yard. She was looking outside the living room window that faces the schoolyard. And this craft, it was about 6 p.m. at night, this craft approaches her front yard. She gets out of the house, you know, right where the door is, where the living room is, and she's looking at this thing, and it's a cylinder. It's approximately 6 feet tall, and this is talked about in the APRO report. They have the whole newspaper article describing what this is within the reference works there. It has kind of a rounded bottom, a slightly rounded top. There is a hollow section within the cylinder, and there's a clear, transparent cutout section showing the interior. Now, what she described seeing is, and she tried to touch this thing. It was hovering about 10 feet above the lawn, and she actually reached up her hand and tried to touch it, but it was too high for her, but she got within feet of this thing. in front of this clear, transparent section, there were these bars that came down that looked like a jailhouse. That's what was described here. And then behind these bars was, the best way to describe it, a hazmat suit. A pressurized hazmat suit being who was kind of in a slightly crouched position. Whatever this thing was, there was a crystal-like light at the bottom of this craft that had a violet and red and blue aura about it. It was glowing. And then whatever this being was, there was a rectangular cutout, and she could barely make out the impression of a man's face. It was very vague. It was very nebulous. But whatever this being was, it looked like it was wearing an inflatable sort of pressurized hazmat suit, and it had ridges along the upper arm section, and there were at least five military helicopters flying around this thing while it was going on. So the military probably has a record of this. They were aware of it. I don't know of any other case that has bars on it with these inflatable hazmat suits. So I think it's kind of an unprecedented case.
You've got a couple of cases in the book where people have seen occupants with very similar descriptions, almost as they're called, the Michelin Man.
That's correct.
UFO occupants.
Yep. We got the Michelin Man case. It just can't be denied because there are so many different Michelin Man cases. They're all around the world. And I don't think any subject or topic or discussion about UFOs can exist without the Michelin Man case. So, I mean, we can certainly cover those if you want. That's certainly possible.
Well, I think the Reunion Island case, for me, it's probably one of the best known, but I don't know if other people are familiar with it.
Yeah, so this is July 31st, 1968, Reunion Island. This is in the Indian Ocean. The primary eyewitness was picking grass for his rabbits. He turned a corner around some trees, and he sees this strange device. It's about 16 feet across. It has a transparent front section. There's a blue translucent left and right section, and the whole thing is elevated off the ground about 5 to 6 feet. It has a pedestal on the bottom and a mirror image pedestal on the top, and what's looks like, this is where it goes right here, there were two what were termed Michelin men inside this transparent section of this egg-shaped device with the pedestal landing pads, you could say, an identical one on the top of the craft. Now, when the one on the left noticed he was being watched by the primary eyewitness, he kind of turned over to the other one on the right, and there was this blinding flash, and this craft disappeared. 2 weeks later, when investigators got to the location, they absolutely did find evidence of radioactive residual effects to the soil. So this is a CE2, and it's a CE3. Now, if it was just this Michelin Man case, there wouldn't be much to it. We wouldn't have much to go on. But there's another case. This I pulled this out of the Gray Barker collection. This is March 14th, 1976, Lyra, Spain. The father and the mother, they had just finished going to the graduating class of their son. This is a kind of a Navy graduating class ceremony. So they're driving back home down the road. It's getting dark here, and the wife looks off to the left and sees this white portion on the left-hand side of the road, and she's thinking, wow, what's this? And whatever this thing was, it made this corkscrew maneuver. It basically transformed from a corkscrew into what looks like, it can only be described as Sunday night at the Oscars. This Michelin Man appears, and he's about 9 feet tall. He kind of has almost completely featureless head. You could call it no nose, no mouth, but he was wearing this diving suit with these ridges on it. Looked like the Michelin Man. Both arms were down by the waist. He had clenched fists, and he had both feet together. He was hovering off the pavement about 10 inches and was moving down the road. He was not walking. He was hovering.
While you're talking about this Michelin yep. Man, I think of the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man in yep. Ghostbusters.
A little bit like that, too, yes. Mm-hmm. Yep, definitely. Now, when they reached the point where they were basically perpendicular to this being or whatever this thing was, on their Peugeot automobile, the electrical lighting system failed. The lights went out. The car kept running, but the lighting system went out. And when they passed it about 600 feet, they pulled off to the side of the road. There were two other cars that passed them, and they flagged them down, and they asked them, did you just see this strange being on the left-hand side of the road? They didn't see it because they were in back of him. And they had no way to continue driving because their lights were out. So whoever these two people were that pulled off to the side of the road, they were very helpful because one of them drove in front of their vehicle and one drove in back of their vehicle using their lights, and they made it back into town. And so this is March 14th, 1976. We've got at least two separate Michelin Man cases now.
That's the fascinating thing about all of this is that, I mean, you know, not just the Michelin Man cases, but many others where you have reports from different times, different places
Correct.
On the planet. They're so similar. Coming
right.
from people who really probably never had any interest in UFOs. You know, a lot of them had no idea what the UFO phenomena was. Yet you're getting the very same kind of descriptions time after time.
Perfectly stated. Yes. Different locations, different times, different witnesses describing the same thing.
And the point being here is that these are things that are not widely publicized. So it's not as if you can take the local newspaper when there were local newspapers and see a particular case and maybe add a few details.
Yeah, I think that's so important to this research is because when you get this independent confirmation from multiple witnesses and you know they don't know each other because you've got Reunion Island, then you've got Spain, then there's another one, another Michelin Man case that's in France that involved a very young woman who was washing dishes, looking out the kitchen window. She saw a Michelin Man, too. I'm sure they don't know each other.
So all these cases from all of these different, archives.
Right.
Do you know, I'm kind of putting you in the spot here.
Sure.
Do you know, is anybody attempting to digitize these all of these files?
And a reminder that we will be welcoming Michael Schratt to this weekend's episode of After the Paracast, which is part of your Paracast Plus subscription. Check theparacast.plus for more info. We've got Tim and Michael and Gene. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
You trust your mother, right? She's always taken care of you and always tried to give you good advice when you ask for it. And sometimes, even when you don't. Well, even though she might not mention it, Mom very likely has neck, back, and shoulder pains. And she needs relief. So trust this good advice. Give back to Mom this Mother's Day with quality products from Sunnybay. Like our disposable heat patches. They're back in stock now and target neck and shoulder pain in adults of all ages. Or our extra long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs. Mom can heat them in her microwave, and they come in a variety of colors and patterns. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews on Amazon when you search Sunny Bay Heating Wraps. And shop now in time for Mother's Day. There's no shipping delays from Sunny Bay. Find us on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay Neck Wraps. Order now because stock is high and shipping is fast. From Sunny Bay.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nanocolloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nanocolloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. John Hess, 5 out of 5 stars. Awesome. Probably my only review, but at age 40, I was getting bad heart throb and left arm pain, mainly before bed. I even stopped smoking and drinking sodas for a month, and that didn't work. After one day of taking Extendovite, it was gone and hasn't returned in 3 years. I've ordered Extendovite 13 times, so Amazon just said. Juliet Hordick. I've ordered this product before in liquid form. It is fantastic. My whole family's been on it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Tracy Torme, screenwriter, producer. You're listening to Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Now, you were mentioning there, I'm going to answer briefly for you, Tim, when we interviewed David Marler. As you know, he's very busy digitizing cases, as is Barry Greenwood.
Yeah, I mean, I think about, like, you know, the like CUFOs, as, you know, Mike said. I mean, you had files that you couldn't even get a razor blade in. There was, you know, so much material in there. And you know that modern paper isn't going to last that long. You know, it's going to deteriorate rapidly.
For example, the Gray Barker collection in Clarksburg, West Virginia, that's in the old mansion there. That's where they have his collection. There's about 10 cabinets full of material, plus books and pamphlets and everything. I am certain that none of that was ever scanned, and it probably never will be.
Gray Barker is a story unto himself.
Yes, he is. That's true.
Well, you knew Gray, didn't you, Gene?
Oh, yeah, for, what, 25, 30 years. And he was very close with Jim Moseley. The problem with Gray Barker, of course, and this has no reflection necessarily on his case files, is that he and Jim were not above faking a few things.
I just hate to think, though, that, you know, for like Gray's files, that it won't be that long before they're going to be unreadable. You pull them out, they're just going to fall apart in your hands. It's just so important that this material be, you know, put into different formats, so that, you know, people years from now will be able to access them, because this information is so valuable, and I just hate the fact that a lot of it has been forgotten.
And part of the problem being analog or physical paper as opposed to a recording or something digitized is that you can't search it. So you have somebody like Michael Schratt looking through files, in a sense, not knowing what's going to be found because there is no search. There's no way to search the things for a specific type of case unless they have some kind of index or there are labels in a particular category. And running across gems, a few dozen out of thousands, it's like an endless task.
Boy, that's exactly correct. That's how it went down. You have no idea what you're going to find. So the only way to go through it is to go through all of it. So it's a deep dive search and really going through every folder.
Oh, by the way, Michael Schratt will appear on this weekend's episode of After the Paracast for Paracast Plus subscribers. But I would suspect here, Michael, that of the cases you listed and of the work you've done, there are probably other cases you didn't have time or space to include.
Sure, there's 302 binders and counting, so there's enough material here to go to the next ice age.
Well, yeah, right now we've got global warming, so the next ice age may be 10,000 years away.
Yeah, I think we can make it.
Now, you never cover things like abductions. Is that something you'd look into in the future?
Maybe in the future. I'm open to it, but I just like to focus on the hardware. I'm totally nuts and bolts all the way.
Do you have a personal opinion about abductions?
The only thing I'll say is I'm a little bit skeptical because in a number of, I'm not saying all of them, but in a number of abduction cases, the information was procured through hypnosis. So that's all I'll say there. Not saying it's not true, but I'm just saying that in a lot of the cases, the information was pulled through hypnosis.
Well, certainly that's one reason why I've been skeptical of it, and I'm sure Tim is too, and this is a position we've taken here at the PowerCast. We're not dismissing UFO abductions in general because there are people who just remember the encounters. But as soon as hypnotic regression enters the picture, we've got to worry about it.
Yeah, that's kind of the way I feel too. I'm not discounting it. I'm just saying I guess it would require a little bit more physical evidence, but that's what we need in all this case, in all these cases. We need the more physical evidence to move this field forward. We just can't have lights in the sky sightings endlessly here. We need to move forward. We're done playing games with this. It's time that the field of ufology take on a completely different tack, and we need this physical evidence. We need the gun camera footage, the 8x10 glossy whites. We need the motion picture film reels. That's what it's going to take to move this forward.
Do you think the new government investigations will bear any fruit? Or will it be, as Kevin Randall says, Condon 2.0?
I don't think it's going to go anywhere. No, they're just going to play this out as long as they can. They have no incentive to release the information. It just would open up a can of worms. You've got lawsuits. You've got religious implications. You've got the utilities, the power utilities. I don't see an incentive for them to start dislodging information.
Also, you wonder about cases like UFO contactees where they claim that ET is here to save us from ourselves, and then all you have to do is look at a map of Ukraine and some of the pictures of the devastations going on there, and all you have to say is, ET, if you give a whit about what's happening to this planet, where are you?
That's right. Yeah, I know, it's crickets. I feel the same way.
What got you started on all this?
I started getting involved in this at a very young age, like 6 years old. My dad used to take me to something called Victory Air Museum in Mundelein, Illinois. This is on the outskirts suburbs of Chicago. And what they had here were a number of World War II warbirds, and they were just parked out in an empty field like they were disrepair. They were dilapidated. They were left for dead, stranded. It just had this ghostly appeal because the paint was oxidized. The paint was chipped. There was broken things within the windshield. There was animals living inside. It had weeds growing up in the wheel wells. And it just had this ghostly appearance and this strange aura about it that attracted me to it. That's what started my love of aviation. And then going to Oshkosh, which is the biggest air show in the world, for about 27 years at a time, it just continued to inspire me to go down this road of aviation research. And then the aircraft and then the UFOs kind of bled together, and that's kind of how it started for me.
Have you ever seen a UFO?
I can't technically claim I have. Nope, I haven't. Nothing like what we've talked about here.
Well, I can tell you I haven't either.
Nope.
Nothing like that. You, Tim?
No, with the exception of one very bright red light in the sky one time, and that could have been anything. Well, and you're a pilot too, aren't you, Mike?
Correct. Private pilot, glider and power rating.
Do you hope that, maybe someday when you're up that you may actually see something when you're flying around? For me, that would be like, no, I want to be on the ground if I see something weird.
I'd like to see it, but I'd like to get the physical evidence that I could prove that it did occur. You know, like 8x10 glossies or real motion picture film reels. Multiple people have gone after this. Larry Bryant is the only one who truly went after it, but he was going after the 1957 Edwards Air Force Base film that Gordon Cooper was involved in. This gentleman actually filed a FOIA request, followed up on it, tried to get the actual film to no avail. So that's never been seen.
Do you have a website or any place people can check out your work?
They can check it out on YouTube, and the name of the channel is called Blue Room Media.
Blue Room Media on YouTube.
That's right. That's right.
And right now your book's available on Amazon, all the usual offenders. And this is a somewhat different book than the one that we see in prototype form. We'll get into more discussion with Michael on After the PowerCast. You can find us on Twitter if you look for the PowerCast. Look for the PowerCast on Facebook. And like Tim's site, conspiracyjournal.com, theparacast.com, can't be posted on Facebook. Although we mention the show and we provide the links to episodes as they're carried on Apple Podcasts or some of the other places. So weird, isn't it? Also, we offer branded merchandise at theparacast.shop, theparacast.shop. We have four logos. We have all the good T-shirts and other merchandise, really, really high quality. And you want to check that out, theparacast.shop. Also, check out the Paracast Plus at theparacast.plus. It's a subscription package that includes the exclusive After the Paracast podcast and this show free of the network ads, all for a low subscription price. And we've just recently added new payment methods. So if it's not PayPal you want, just a regular credit or debit card, or even Apple Pay or Google Pay. All right? We also offer a 20% discount if you use the coupon code UFO20, UFO20, to save 20% on 5-year or lifetime subscriptions. TheParacast.plus. Michael Schratt, thank you for joining us on the PowerCast.
No problem. Great to be with you.
The PowerCast, featuring Gene Steinberg, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in the PowerCast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP, as slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.